Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, my rapid reaction to that Steelers 42-37 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, bringing their record now to 0-1-1. And there's really no other way to put this one, right? This was a disaster of a defensive performance in Heinz Field, and it was all too similar to the last time this team played in Heinz Field. This is now back-to-back games in Heinz Field, where this team has given up 40-plus points to their opponent. Absolutely no answers defensively in this game. Little to no pass rush whatsoever. Poor tackling leading to big plays, as usual. Miscommunication in the secondary, again. This team spent an offseason trying to address these very things, and yet here we are, two games into the regular season, and it feels like, defensively, it feels like we haven't made any progress whatsoever. And yet offensively, here's an offense trying to play catch up and doing well. Again, this game was tied at halftime 21-21, and somehow, some way, this team was in it all the way to the end. Again, a team in Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs that put up 6 touchdowns and all through the air. Mahomes made it look easy all day, and yet the Steelers somehow, some way, fought their way back into this one. And again, it felt like it was a game all the way until the end. We're going to talk about all of that today on the show. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers, like the Facebook page, join the Facebook group. You can also find me on Instagram now, Locked On Steelers on Instagram, social media everywhere in 2018. And let's start today with some news and notes. We'll start a little lighter today on the podcast before we get to that Steelers performance. Josh Gordon is likely to be released by the Cleveland Browns today. Likely as you're listening to this, he will already have been released or traded. John Dorsey, the Browns general manager, releasing a statement saying that they feel like they've done everything they can to help Josh Gordon get back in his recovery, but the best thing for them to do now is to release him. It's a strange end to a strange saga for Josh Gordon, not just in his entire career, but really for this season. Remember, he didn't show up to training camp, showed up late. They had that press conference, but they didn't really want to talk about it and all of that. And now, there's word that he hurt his hamstring at a promotional event, a hamstring that was already injured. I guess it's re-injured. He wasn't going to play on Sunday. He showed up late on Saturday. They said, quote, he wasn't himself, according to reports from Cleveland. Again, a very strange end now to Josh Gordon's career in Cleveland. They put up with a lot with him, right? I mean, this is year-long suspensions that he's been under for the past couple years. Again, a great wide receiver, as the Steelers found out a week ago. Remember, he caught the game-tying touchdown in that game over Cam Sutton. He will no longer be a member of the Browns. The only question now is, where is he going to go? There is no suspension that he's facing from the NFL, so we'll see where Josh Gordon goes, but he will not be a member of the Cleveland Browns. Of course, you have to wonder, right? There's been reports that San Francisco is interested, been reports that Dallas is interested. I would not be surprised if the New England Patriots get themselves involved in this. Of course, they need wide receiver help as well. Be interesting to see where Josh Gordon lands. And then going over to Sunday's game between the Steelers and Chiefs, James Washington was active for that game. Justin Hunter, not active. And so James Washington saw the bulk of the reps at outside receiver in 3 wide receiver sets. I think that's likely to be the case for the rest of the season now. The Justin Hunter experiment ends after 1 game. I think it's likely he's going to spend the rest of the season on the inactive list. It was strange a week ago to see the Steelers keep 6 receivers active on the roster. That's not likely to be the case throughout the year. And so, here we go. James Washington, it started on Sunday against the Chiefs, and it will just continue. Again, his first catch was a touchdown. I thought he had a largely successful game against Kansas City. Had a couple deep balls thrown to him. Didn't really have a chance. Again, Ben and his deep ball accuracy right now, just not there. Whether or not it was the elbow, just timing issues. He said the ball was coming out of his hand a little to the right on some of those throws. So, whatever the case may be, again, James Washington still was able to catch a touchdown. I think he had a fine game overall. And again, this is just the beginning for the James Washington era at outside receiver for the Steelers. And then the injury report for Sunday, no significant injuries, according to Mike Tomlin. So Joe Hayden, David DeCastro, Tyson Alualu, they all missed this game because of injury. They got those injuries against Cleveland. No significant injuries coming out of this game. So hopefully we can get Hayden back. It sounds like That's just a one-week injury. We'll get him back against Tampa Bay. DeCastro with the broken hand. You know, who knows with that one. And then Tyson Alualu, again, he practiced in a limited capacity at the end of the week. So hopefully we can get him back for Tampa Bay as well. And again, going into this game now with Tampa with no injuries coming out of this one, you have to think the Steelers are going to be relatively healthy going into that game on Monday night. Before we get to my rapid reaction, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's show, MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with, and that's why this season MyBookie is your best bet. I've been using them all season now as my bookie of choice, and their mobile site is really easy to use. You don't have to go to a computer and you know, do it that way. You can do it right from your phone. In fact, as I was watching the Jaguars-Patriots game, I ended up, you know, that game certainly felt like it was going to go back in the Patriots' favor, as those games always do. And I put a couple bucks on Patriots plus 14.5. Was sweating that one out at the end as it looked like the Jaguars might pour it on. Ended up winning that one. Again, live betting, just some of the things you can do there. Again, I still have my three-team teases that I love to do on there. You can do over-unders on fantasy points scored. They have the most rewarding player perks in the business. Right now, they're slammed with new bettors, and they want to give everyone the best service possible. So if you're willing to wait till after 7 p.m., Eastern time, they're going to give you an additional $25 of free play on deposits over $100. So if you join now, MyBookie will not only match your deposit dollar for dollar, but if you're willing to wait till after 7 p.m., they're going to give you an additional $25 of free play on deposits over $100. Just enter the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And again, if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you're going to get an extra $25 of free play by, again, using that promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. I also want to let you know that fantasy football is underway, and we have two fantasy football podcasts here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. And then Locked On Fantasy Football is now the Locked On Fantasy Football of Experts, with amazing guests all week. Monday, Tom Kucinich. Tuesdays, Eric Edholm. Wednesdays, Jet Ratliff and Tyler Lochner. Look for those podcasts. Again, search on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts for Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 and Locked On Fantasy Football. And then let's talk about this Chiefs-Steelers game. What can you say other than this was a complete and utter disaster defensively, as I said at the top of this podcast. First of all, I'll take the L on Friday's prediction, that low-scoring game prediction. I will take the L on that one. This is not the game I foresaw. I guess I should have. I gave this Steeler defense far, far too much credit coming into this game. Now, let's start with Mahomes and the Chiefs offense, because as I said last week, this was going to be a very different Chiefs offense and Chiefs attack than we're used to. They're terrific. No doubt about it, right? They're going to be a handful, even for the best defenses in the NFL. Mahomes, again, a very accurate quarterback, strong arm, not afraid to throw the football down the field. But against our defense, I mean, it was all too easy, right? Mahomes had more touchdowns in this game than he did incompletions. He had 6 touchdowns, 5 incompletions for the game. Kareem Hunt was fantastic, strong running through tackles. Travis Kelce had his revenge game against this team, a team that had shut him down in the past. He ripped us apart, especially in the middle of the field. Sammy freaking Watkins caught 6 of his 7 targets for 131 total yards, including that 30-yard end-around play. I mean, the Steelers defense just had no answers for any of it. I mean, let's start with the scheme itself. Keith Butler and company decided that they were just going to sit back in zone in this game. No pressure early, right? I mean, I said this. He loves to get passive in these moments. That was one of the things I worried about going into this game. It was so easy for Mahomes to sit back and pick us apart early in this game. Very reminiscent of the Lions game from a year ago, right? No one remembers the Lions game because, again, that was a 20-17. Yeah, the Steelers got, or was it 20-15? The Steelers got away with one. The Lions kicked 5 field goals in that game, right? They only scored 5 times. Well, the Chiefs only scored 6 times in this game. It just so happened all of theirs converted into touchdowns. And as I said after that Lions game a year ago, don't be results-oriented. That was a terrible performance defensively. And if the Lions had any sort of red zone offense, we would have got killed today. And this is what it looks like when you sit back in zone, when you put no pressure on the quarterback, and you have a guy back there who has a strong arm, who is willing and accurate enough to throw between the seams. You know, again, we just got picked apart today. Here's a question. Why are Terrell Edmonds and Morgan Burnett on this football team if John Bostic is going to be the one assigned to cover Travis Kelce down the middle of the field? If I have to watch John Bostic try to labor his way down the field to cover Travis Kelce, I'll tell you why. It's because we were so happy, again, to sit in zone defense. Just sit back there and say, no, we're going to play cover two. You know, we're going to play cover three and just get picked apart all day. Whether it was down the seam, whether it was on the corners, it was so easy for Mahomes in this football game to find open receivers. There was no understanding from the safeties on where to be. Davis was late to the outside. Burnett, late coming inside on the Kelce touchdown. You know, I felt like they did switch to man at some points later in the season, but my God. We'll see during Thursday's film breakdown just how bad it was. Bottom line, this defense picked up right where it left off against Jacksonville at the end of last season. This was a horrific performance from Artie Burns, a guy, look, there's no Joe Hayden in this game, so he's got to be our number one corner in this football game. He was picked on even though Cam Sutton and Cody Sensabaugh are out there, right? I mean, you got Cam Sutton, you heard this on Wednesday's podcast when Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs came on here and asked me, oh, you know, if you're the Chiefs, who are you going after? You're going after Artie or are you going after Cam Sutton? And where are we as Steeler fans? We all were thinking to ourselves, you go after Artie. Cam Sutton might actually be a good corner. We're unsure. We've only seen a limited amount of him, but I'm going after Artie because I know what I get from Artie. And here you are in this football game, and you have your number one corner, Artie Burns, your number one pick. And again, I mean, Artie Burns was atrocious in this football game. Bud Dupree, same thing, right? Bud Dupree, breakout year for Bud Dupree. We're going to flip him to the other side. Didn't make a peep in this game as a pass rusher. And again, against a left tackle in Eric Fisher, who has been dominated by James Harrison in the past. Not a peep from Bud Dupree. You know, again, I've heard this all throughout the day today after the game, right? You know, people tell me, what did you expect? The Steelers didn't address their issues on defense this offseason. This is what they get for not addressing their issues this offseason, right? They didn't get a player to replace Shazier, that kind of thing. Here's the bigger problem, right? Here's the biggest problem with this defense right now. Would it have mattered if they did address those issues, if they did draft the inside linebacker that they wanted? Artie Burns, first-round pick. How's that working out? Bud Dupree, first-round pick. How's that working out? Sean Davis, second-round pick. How's that working out? Right, we got him at free safety in this game. Again, he was lost in this football game. Now, he was very good against Cleveland and very good against Tyrod Taylor, and so was this defense. But, you know, all the talk of, hey, it's just the Browns, don't read too much into the Browns, that's something to be said for that. There's a bigger issue at hand. The defense is not developing the talent that it has. So if we had gone out and addressed this by getting the inside linebacker that we all wanted, right, if we had gone out there and get the pass rusher that we all wanted, are we getting better on defense because of it? It doesn't, you know, again, We have this defense filled with first and second and third round picks. I mean, again, this team has gone defense in so many of the last drafts, and it doesn't feel like anything on defense is getting any better. I'll go to the communication and missed tackles, because that's what we've heard about all offseason. We just continue to hear, we're fixing the communication stuff, we're fixing the missed tackling. That's all we heard all offseason. The communication is going to get better. How much longer are we going to keep hearing about communication? Because it was once again the storyline coming out of this one that, Mike Hilton says, we beat ourselves in a lot of cases. We gave them 21 points by not being on the same page. How, after an offseason, after being embarrassed by the Jacksonville Jaguars at home and giving up 45 points and spending an entire training camp, an entire offseason, an entire OTA, minicamp process, everything, and all you've talked about is how much better you have to be at communication, and here you are facing the first NFL caliber offense you're going to face all season, and it is a complete and utter disaster once again. How much longer are we going to have to continue as Steeler fans to hear a defense say, well, you know, we just weren't on the same page. Miscommunication, our bad. We'll try better next time, right? You can go back to 2015, opening day, Steelers at Patriots. Gronk killed us in that game. 3 touchdowns, including one play, the first one he had in that game, where he was not even covered. And I don't mean like, you know, he got himself open. I mean, he split out wide and no one lined up to cover him. Brady got the ball quick, threw it to Gronk, easy touchdown. That was Keith Butler's first game as a defensive coordinator. And the thing we heard out of that one is, all right, this defense has some communication issues. And we all thought the same thing. All right, look, Butler's first game, communication issues. All right, well, you know, we'll work it out. We are now in year 4 of Keith Butler as the defensive coordinator. And what is the storyline every time we go out and have a performance like this? And they are getting more and more frequent now. Remember, this is not the first time. This is not the second time. It's not like the Jaguars was the first time someone went out there and threw 30 on us, right? Joe Flacco threw 38 on us last year. We had Brent Huntley throw 28 on us. As I said, the Lions threw 15 on us, threw 5 field goals. If those are 5 touchdowns, we give up 35 in that football game. We're not getting better defensively under Keith Butler. That is a fact right now. That is where this defense is. Now, how are we going to address that going forward? Look, you know, this is a Steeler team that does not fire coordinators or fire coaches midseason. And we are only in week 2, and it is a long season, and there's a lot of things that can happen defensively on this team. But where we are right now, are we any better than we were when we left off against Jacksonville? Does it feel like this defense got any better to you? I get we were going up against a good offense in Kansas City. But I can't point to one thing on this defense right now that has gotten better from where we left off against Jacksonville. The first time we faced an NFL caliber offense, 42 points, 6 touchdowns, 5 incompletions. That is what this defense has to show for it at home in the home opener. It is an embarrassment. It is an embarrassment for this team to continue to field defenses this bad. And again, you know, we can talk about the talent that we have on the field. Is the talent good enough? Is this team doing a good enough job of drafting these players? As I said, the problem is bigger than just drafting the players. Or, you know, like, we're not developing these players. We're not drafting them well. We don't put them in a good scheme. You know, it is a disaster defensively. Before we continue my rapid reaction, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's show, Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. And don't let this Sunday's game dissuade you. Heinz Field, still the best place to watch Steeler football. And if you've never been, I highly, highly encourage you to get out to Heinz Field, watch a game. Again, sit on that Steeler sideline. Even if you're in the upper deck, you're going to get a great view of not just the Steeler game, but of the city skyline. You have the great hall you can visit. You can tailgate before the game. It's an unbelievable experience going there. I know the Steelers this season, it didn't look that fun for a lot of the fans who were in the building, but let me tell you, I've been there for that Jags loss in the playoffs a year ago. I was there for the 5 interception game a year ago. I have never regretted spending time in Heinz Field. It's a fantastic place to watch Steeler football, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get there. They are offering great prices and an easy purchasing experience. Use the podcast code Locked On. Our listeners will receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code Locked On to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed with a 100% guarantee. Again, go to Vivid Seats and use the promo code Locked On for $20 off a purchase of $200 or more. Now, we're not going to see this every week, right? Because we're not going to be going up against a high-powered offense like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, we didn't see this every week last year either, although we saw it probably too often. I really want to discuss that kind of thing tomorrow's podcast, right? Talking about where this team is from a big-picture standpoint, where does this team fit now in the AFC? Are the Super Bowl dreams dead because of what we saw defensively? All that. How do we fix this defense? All of that. I kind of want to address that stuff on tomorrow's podcast. We'll talk kind of big picture tomorrow. Then going over to special teams. I have no idea what's happening on that first punt return. Unless Barry shanked it, and maybe they were trying to pin him on a different, you know, on a different part of the field or whatever. I have no idea what's happening there. Again, the punt is on the left side. Hill is there to catch it. Thomas in front of him. Thomas catches the ball, just goes right down the sideline for 50 yards. One missed tackle. Where is the entire return team? I would love to see the all 22. Definitely going to take an interest in that on Thursday's podcast when we do the film review. But I have no idea what's happening there on special teams. Again, was it not communicated that we were pinning them on the left side there? Did Barry shank it? I have no idea, but it just seems it seems impossible to me that you can have that horrific coverage on that play where a guy can go for 50 yard lines. Again, didn't have to move, right? He just goes right down the sideline, straight line down the sideline for 50 yards. Terrible, terrible. And then for Boswell, look, I'm not willing to give up on Boswell just yet. He's not had a great start to the season. We were all willing to say, look, the missed field goal against Cleveland, right? I mean, that was kind of a law of averages coming back. He's made so many game winners now. He was due to miss one. He missed that one from 42. It was in the rain, all of that. I mean, you can make excuses for the miss. He misses the 49-yarder in this one. Not great. 49-yarder, though, not a chip shot by any stretch. Definitely a missable field goal. The missed extra point is really where you start to think, okay, hold on. What is going on with Chris Boswell? You know, he's definitely got to bounce back from this. Now, he made a couple extra points afterwards. So, hopefully nothing wrong with Boswell. Again, Boswell has been one of our better players. So, you know, he just signed this long-term deal. You know, for us to have to go through another kicker thing with, you know, we went through with Scobie and all of that, that would be a disaster again. So let's not have that happen with Boswell. And again, I'm not willing to give up on him just yet. Going over to the offensive side of the ball, look, offensively, they were great, right? I mean, they were great. They didn't start great. And again, it reminded you a lot of that Jaguars game where they started slowly. The Jaguars built up a big lead and the Steelers had to kind of come from behind. But in this game, the Steelers did, right? I mean, they got off to a slow start really because they couldn't run the football. And Connor and the offensive line just didn't get going early on in this football game, and they went three and out a couple times. The Steelers blamed it on penalties, which I find weird. They only had one penalty in their first two drives, and those are the two drives where they didn't score. The third one, they went down and got the field goal. I don't understand the whole, like, oh, you know, we were stopped by penalties. They had one penalty. They really just couldn't run the football, which is the problem for them early in this football game. And Ben had some accuracy issues down the field, right? I mean, they had James Washington on a deep throw. They had some other throws in this game that Ben should have made. He had some ball placement issues, as we saw a week ago. You know, whether it's a timing issue with some of the new receivers, whether it was elbow, you know, that was bothering him, whatever it was, right? I mean, Ben just wasn't accurate further down the field. But again, that kind of went away the further into this game we got. And as Ben settled himself into this game, he was largely terrific. I mean, he finishes the game throwing the ball 60 times, completing 39 of them for 452 yards and three touchdowns. Didn't turn the ball over, which was fantastic. The one he did turn over was overturned or overturned because of penalty. He had to do this coming from behind, coming from a 21-point deficit, continuing to be behind throughout the second half as the Steeler defense was unable to get big stops against Kansas City, and he did. I mean, every time just driving this team down the field, scoring touchdowns. I thought Jesse James was terrific. And again, you know, while it wasn't Vance McDonald, right, you see what I mean now when I say the tight end can be a real weapon in this offense. If we start to get going, right, you know, the tight end becomes this forgotten guy out there when teams are worried about Juju, who, again, Juju was unbelievable in this game. 13 catches, 121 yards. He was great. A.B., you know, continues to be good. Him and Ben have this weird, you know, just like Ben can't throw to AB or their timing is off there. Whatever is wrong with those two, they got to work it out because AB was not happy after this game. And I mean, I somewhat understand it. He was open a lot, just not connecting. But again, you know, we go back to Jesse, right? You know, when everyone's playing well, when this offense is firing on all cylinders, you know, again, the more that this team can find a guy like Jesse James or Vance McDonald, whoever it is, right, as a third weapon, you have, again, in this game, you have Juju getting 19 targets, AB 17 targets, right? I mean, I know we threw the ball 60 times, so those target numbers are crazy high because of it. But again, you need a third, fourth option in this offense. And, you know, we're gonna see James Washington get better now. He caught a touchdown in this game. But I think the tight end can be a really significant part of this offense as well. I feel bad for the offense because, again, this was a Kansas City defense that it felt like they should go out and have a big day against, and they did. I'm happy to see that this offense is not going to have that kind of slow start to the season that we saw. I mean, I know I was very negative on this podcast a week ago on Monday about the offense and about how, you know, here we go again with the slow start. And, you know, look, not going to be the case, right? This was certainly not a slow start in week two. You know, they went out there and put 37 out. They should have won this football game for us offensively. The problem was everything defensively was horrific, and they couldn't get a stop. Hopefully this offense continues to go out there. And again, you know, as I said, defensively, do I expect us to give up 42 every week? No, right? So as long as offensively we can continue to put up big points like this and hopefully get going in games earlier, we should be fine. I know a lot of people are saying, you know, the playoffs, you know, we're going to be 8-8, we're going to be a terrible team, yada, yada. Again, we're going to talk about a lot of that tomorrow. I still think this is a playoff team. I still think we can win the division. Yeah, more than that, let's talk tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see where we're all at 24 hours after processing this football game. But again, I thought offensively, this was a very, very good performance.
And then the last thing I want to talk about today is the late game clock management. And it's been bad under Tomlin, really his entire career. And I don't understand how this hasn't been fixed because it doesn't seem that hard. I mean, you know, you can, you know, anyone who plays Madden understands late game clock management, but whatever. This team just has not addressed it. 3:28 to go. The Steelers have the ball at the 6-yard line of Kansas City. They're down 42-30 at the end of the game. They need two scores. They need to score as quickly as they can. You know, potentially give the ball back to Kansas City, get a stop, use all their timeouts, get the ball back, and drive down and score, right? And so having the 2-minute warning in your pocket there is essentially a fourth timeout. You cannot use the 2-minute warning on offense. You need it for if Kansas City gets the ball back. And instead, the Steelers, again, first and goal from the 6, and it takes them a minute and a half to run those 4 plays to get them in. That's inexcusable from this team. And think about how the game ended. The Chiefs were going to punt with whatever it was, 15, 20 seconds left. You could have added another 40 seconds on the clock if they hadn't used the 2-minute warning on their drive to score. The Steelers could have potentially been getting the ball back with about a minute to go, down 5. Could have snuck away a win here if they had saved that 2-minute warning, but they did not because, again, offensively at the end there, they just were not in any rush for whatever reason to score that touchdown. And then the other problem I have here is the onside kick or the lack of an onside kick. Now, this game reminds me a lot of the Jags game back in January because it was a game where defensively we can't get a single stop, you know, in the second half, right? It felt a lot like the Jags game in that way. And yet offensively we're keeping up, you know, we're going with them score for score. We just need one more possession at the end of the game and we can potentially pull off or sneak away with a victory. In that game against Jacksonville, Tomlin elects to kick the onside kick. Now, he's criticized for it because, again, the Steelers ended up getting a 3-and-out there after the onside kick, but the Jags were able to kick a field goal. In this game, he elects to kick off, and I don't know what he's thinking in this one because, again, what about this Chiefs offense and the way they've been moving the football and the way our defense has been playing made Tomlin believe we were going to get a 3-and-out? I don't think the Chiefs had a 3-and-out all game. I think the only 3-and-out that they had was the safety. That's the only 3-and-out the Chiefs had in the entire game. So kicking off to them there, that just made no sense. And again, it goes against what Tomlin did in January. Made no sense to me. And again, it was one of those things that cost the Steelers this game at the end. I mean, again, the defensive performance was the real story here. But, you know, late game clock management and how this can continue to be a problem for this team year after year and they don't address it. Again, it makes absolutely no sense to me. So that's pretty much it. That's my rapid reaction to the game. Not happy. This was a terrible, terrible performance. And it does kind of leave you dejected as a fan, right? Because we hear all offseason about all the things that are going to change for this team. They bring in Morgan Burnett. They're bringing in John Bostic. They've got Terrell Edmonds now as a safety. We've got all these new looks, dollar, quarter, dime, right? We're going to be playing all these new looks. We've got all these things that are going to be fixed defensively, communication, tackling, all of that. And for the first game in Heinz Field to look exactly like the one we left off with, how do you not feel dejected, completely dejected as a fan? It really does feel like this team, I mean, not that they've done nothing to address their issues, but, you know, we'll talk about this tomorrow, right? Do they even know what their issues are at this point? I think is a valid question to start asking about this football team. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Again, I want to address this thing in a big picture. What's going to happen for the 2018 season, right? Where does this leave this team now in the 2018 season? Is it time to start hitting the panic button for the season as a whole? Is it time to start hitting the panic button for the defense, right? What are we going to do with Keith Butler, Mike Tomlin? There's a lot of questions to be asked. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.